kulo ntumbano pake chibi chakumulu kakongoche wabane chitarari la changunda wabo wafuka umfwa wela chitezi ninapitamo pako ziteni kopezi ninalida na wako tenilibe bebe mulungo wanga na kunifatida wewe nipempera eve
kifunda utibe no one can take your place. My baby, you are what you want.
From Lusaka, our Cobway, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
The Zambia Compulsory Standards Agency has suspended the supply of non-compliant packaged drinking water brands Indola and Kitwe. The Tonse Alliance has called for issue-based campaigns in the upcoming by-elections. In international news, a new cholera outbreak in Sudan has killed 172 people in a week. In sports, Sundown senior coach Steve Compella has revealed his team's game plan ahead of the Pyramids final.
And now, the Power FM News.
To present the lunchtime news, my name is Viola Chuma. The Zambia Compulsory Standards Agency has suspended the supply of non-compliant packaged drinking water brands Indola and Kitwe towns on the Copperbelt province. ZIGSA has since restricted 113 cases of packaged water valued at 7,475 kwacha pending corrective measures for violating the requirements of the Zambian Standards ZS388 Bottled Drinking Water Specification and the Compulsory Standard Act No. 3 of 2017. Zambia Compulsory Standards Agency Communications and Public Relations Manager Brian Hachoka says this enforcement action was undertaken in Dola and Kitwe during the agency's market surveillance and factory inspections this year. Mr. Hachoka observed that some packaged water brands were not registered with the agency, while other brands were suspected to be unsafe for human consumption. He has urged consumers to contribute to safeguarding themselves by reporting any suspicious products to the agency, as consuming products whose safety has not been ascertained can pose a risk to health to their health. In another development, mining expert Edward Simukonda has raised concerns about inconsistencies in Zambia's mining policies, particularly regarding local ownership of mining assets. Speaking to our Copperbelt News Bureau, Mr. Simukonda highlighted that despite the government issuing 952 artisanal mining rights nationwide, there has been no visible improvement in revenue generation, which should be central to mining operations. Mr. Simukonda called for the establishment of a dedicated board to scrutinize mining license applicants to ensure only qualified and well-resourced companies receive licenses, thereby enhancing the integrity of the licensing process. He stressed that consistent policies promoting local ownership are crucial for the sector's sustainable growth.
We had the Mopanian question back into our hands. But unfortunately, we've been given back the controlling rights. And, you know, they'll do what they feel is right. They may pay, but they may take a long time to pay, which is very unfortunate. The only way we can really control our income at this time from these mining companies is for us to have a bigger say or some controlling shares out of a good controlling share out of these mining companies.
In more news, Vice President Mutale Nalumango has expressed satisfaction with the efforts of the Zambia NGO Wash Forum in advocating for improved water, sanitation and hygiene across the country. Mrs. Nanumango highlighted the vital role non-governmental organizations play in complementing government efforts in various sectors. She was speaking during her tour of the forum's exhibition stand at the ongoing PANAFCON 3 at Mulungushi International Conference Center in Lusaka, hosted by Zambia. The ongoing PANAFCON 3 conference has provided a platform for stakeholders to engage in discussions on sustainable development with emphasis on strengthening Africa's WASH agenda for the future. Meanwhile, Zambia NGO WASH Forum Coordinator Wovala Mayovwe Mumba reiterated the organization's commitment to advancing WASH initiatives. Ms. Mumba noted that the forum is comprised of 40 civil society organizations working collaboratively to drive positive change in the sector. She expressed gratitude for the visibility the sector has received through engagements with the government, particularly following pronouncements by the head of state that have helped bring much-needed attention to critical WASH issues. In other news, the Tonse Alliance has called for issue-based campaigns in the upcoming by-elections in Lumezi Constituency, Eastern Province, and Tuwa Ward, Western Province. The alliance, under the leadership of former President Dr. Edgar Chagwalungu, has successfully filed nominations and is now gearing up for vigorous campaigns aimed at addressing the real concerns of Zambians. Sean Tembo, President of the Patriots for Economic Progress and spokesperson for the Tonse Alliance, emphasized the need for a shift from divisive politics to constructive dialogue. He further challenged the ruling party to prioritize development projects such as completing the long-delayed Chipata-Lundazi Road rather than wasting millions of kwacha on electioneering. He also called on UPND to use their campaign platforms responsibly.
Instead of ferrying violent cadres to Lumezi, please ferry empty grain bags so that the people of Lumezi can begin to package their maize. Instead of spending millions of kwacha on the Lumezi by-election campaigns, please use that money to complete the construction of the Chipata-Lundazi Road, which has taken more than 3 years, with no tangible progress to date. Instead of using your campaign platforms in Lumezi to insult and disparage Dr. Edgar Chagwalungu, please use your campaign platforms to announce Food Reserve Agency maize floor price for 2025, which the people of Zambia are waiting for. In short, the Tonse Alliance's appeal to the ruling UPND party is that let us turn a page and change the manner that we do and practice our politics. Let us practice progressive politics that can benefit our people. Instead of spreading hate, let us spread love.
In international news, human rights group Amnesty International has accused the M23 rebels fighting in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo of possible war crimes. In a report published on Tuesday, it claimed the Rwanda-backed militants were responsible for killing, torturing and forcibly disappearing civilian detainees in areas under its control. The NGO said these serious abuses violate international humanitarian law and may amount to war crimes. The decades-long conflict in the eastern Congo escalated in January when the M23 rebels began a rapid advance. They seized swathes of territory in the region, including the strategic city of Goma in North Kivu province, followed by Bukavu in February. Still in international news, a new cholera outbreak in Sudan has killed 172 people and infected more than 2,500 over the past week, authorities said on Tuesday. Most cases were reported in Sudan's capital, Khartoum, and its twin city of Mardouman, but cholera was also detected in other provinces across the country. Medical NGO Doctors Without Borders, also known as Medicine Sans Frontiers, or MSF, said Sudan's healthcare facilities were unable to cope with the surge of patients. The cholera spike began in mid-May, with MSF teams treating almost 2,000 suspected cholera cases in the past week alone, according to Sudan Coordinator for MSF Joyce Barker. She said the scenes in treatment centers were disturbing, with many patients arriving too late to be saved. She called for a united response, including water, sanitation and hygiene programs and more treatment facilities. We now take a